This being with y'all. And it's great to be back with you. We had a good visit with the kids and the grandkids, and but it's always good to come back and be here with you, our family here. And we have been studying, and I want to welcome our visitors. We do have several visitors with us today, and we're glad to have you here with us as well. Hope you'll stay around for a few minutes afterwards and let us get a chance to meet you before you take off. And one thing that I will tell you, if you're visiting with us, you have, probably haven't heard, you want to come back this evening at 5 o'clock because we're having a fish fry.
Right.
And so that's what's going on this evening. We're going to do a fish fry and some singing. We have a new song, a worship song, that we want to kind of learn, at least begin learning this evening. So I want to encourage you to come back. 5 o'clock, we'll have a fish fry and some singing. So that's what's going on. We've been talking about heaven, and in particularly, we've been talking about and looking at the question, how does heaven help us? And, you know, as we think about heaven a lot, and we typically think about, you know, what is heaven going to be like when we get there? But that's really not what this lesson is all about right now. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple of weeks in a lesson we're going to do on heaven. But really, what we're focusing on right now in this part of our study is looking at the question, if heaven is real, then how does that help me now in my daily life, right? So that's what we've been studying, that's what we're looking at, and this morning we want to talk about how heaven gives us hope. Now, let me start out by asking you, just show of hands, how many of you can use a little bit of hope? You can raise up two hands if you want to. Okay? You know, because, we all need hope, don't we? From time to time in our lives, especially when life gets overwhelming, we need to have some hope. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. How does heaven give us hope? Well, we start out, first of all, looking over in Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 29. Look at what God has to say to the Israelite people. Now, understand that when God makes this statement, He's making it to the nation of Israel at a time when they are not being obedient to Him. Okay? And they're due for some punishment because they've not been obeying God's will. But notice what God says to them, even in the midst of their not living in obedience to Him. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So as we look at this statement from God at that time that He's talking to the Israelite people, one of the things that we need to realize about God is that He has big, big plans for you. He's got big, big plans for me, and He's got big, big plans for us as a church. Because we are His people, we are His children, and God has big plans for us. You see, sometimes I think we run into problems because we don't plan big enough. Okay? We limit ourselves to our plans. We're going to talk more about that in a second, but God has big, big plans. And notice specifically what kind of plans He has. First of all, He says this, He plans to prosper you and not harm you. You see, we need to understand that we have a God who wants us to succeed. He wants us to be prosperous in this life. Okay? And so He tells us, I've got plans to prosper you. Now, you know, as Brian mentioned a moment ago, and we've been talking about this study that we're doing, and it's not as much a study on giving as it is, it's just a study on money, to you know, in general, okay? I want to really encourage you to be here for that study. And I know a lot of you go, I ain't coming to a study on giving. Because they're just asking for money. And that's not what this is about. You see? This is a study about how God plans to prosper you. Okay? And so I really want to encourage you to take advantage of this study that we're doing that has to do with giving, has to do with money, but it has to do with how God has plans to prosper all of us. You see? He says, I've got plans to prosper you. And not only that, He says, my plans don't include harming you. Okay? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. God does not want us to suffer. We're His children. Now, do we suffer? Do we suffer?
Yes,
we do. We struggle. We have hardships. We have turmoil. We've talked about that. We're going to continue talking about it. And that's one reason why we need hope, because we do struggle. But that's not God's intention for us to be harmed. God allows us to be harmed sometimes. He allows us to suffer and face turmoil, oftentimes to discipline us and to draw us closer to Him. That's what He was getting ready to do with Israel, He said. But that's not His desire, is to cause us harm. Okay? So that whole idea that people have, you know, in their mind about, oh, you know, God's going to get you for that, you see, and, you know, watch out for that bolt of lightning, because we have a God who's sitting up there in heaven, got a bolt of lightning in His hand, just waiting to zap you when you do something wrong. No. That's not the God I serve. My God says, I don't have plans to harm you. You see? I want to prosper you. And not only that, but look at what else His plans include. He says, I plan to give you two things. Number one, hope. Okay? And secondly, a future. God says, I want to give you hope. Why does God want to give us hope? Have you ever really thought about that? Why is God so intent on giving you and I hope in our lives? Anybody have an idea? Let me give you a hint. It's because we generally find ourselves being hopeless. That's one of Satan's biggest tools, is to make us feel hopeless. Make us feel like there's no way out of whatever's going on in my life, whatever problems, whatever turmoil I'm facing, that I feel hopeless. And God knows that about us. And because He wants to prosper us and not harm us, He wants to give us hope in those oftentimes seemingly hopeless situations in life that we find ourselves in. And in giving us that hope, He says, I've also got plans for your future. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I generally am planning my future, okay, I think about the things I've got to do, what I've got to pack, you know, what I've got, you know, the things I've got to accomplish, what I need, and so forth for the journey ahead. Y'all do that? Okay? You get excited about where you're going to go on that trip or what have you? Let me tell you something. God's got plans for your future that you can't even begin to imagine. Amen. You see? He has a future plan for you. You know, we got some college kids that they just left to go off to college, and, you know, they've got plans for their future, right? And parents, y'all have plans for their future? I did with my kids when they were coming up at that age. And here's what I want them to do. I'll never forget my son. He went to David Lipscomb University for his freshman year. He wanted to be a youth minister / worship leader. Now, me being a preacher, how happy do you think that made me? Oh, yeah. And towards the end of his first year, his freshman year, he called me one day from school and he said, Dad, he said, would you be too disappointed if I wasn't a youth minister, worship leader? And I said, no, it's your life. You can do what you got to do. He said, what I really want to do is be a policeman. How happy do you think that made me feel? You see? But my point is, you see, he had his future. I had some ideas of what I really wanted for him. But God's got some grand ideas for your future. You see? Some grand ideas. And they all have to do with the place called heaven. See? You see, this is all about God's plans for us, not our plans for us. And we really need to understand, okay? Because whenever we make our plans for our future, this is kind of what it looks like. Okay? You know? That's kind of what we think about. I want to live long and prosper. All right, I want to make as much money as I can and be secure as I can in this life, and I want to live a long life. Live long and prosper. God's got a whole lot better plans than that for you and for me. But what we've got to do is understand, we've got to let go of our plans for us and let God make the plans and give us the plans that He has for us. Okay? Because when we're making the plans, then we kind of wonder why we so often feel this. discouragement, and hopelessness. Because so often, I know in my life, I don't know about you, but I know in my life, so many of the times when I've made all my plans and I've decided this is what I'm going to do and the direction I'm going to go, they don't usually work out very well. And that's how I feel, discouraged and hopeless. But when I allow God to be the one that's making the plans, and I realize that it's His plans for my life, and I yield to that, then I find myself being so much more content and happy in life. See? So we have to understand that God has plans for us. And sometimes those plans are going to be contrary to what our plans are for us. We have to decide whether we're going to allow God to be the plan maker or whether we're going to go forward with our own plans for our own life. Okay? See, God's got big plans. Big plans for you. He wants to bless your life. But in the meantime, He knows how frustrating and how hopeless things in this world, in this life that we live in, temporarily can be. See? But understand that He has big plans. In fact, His plans far exceed the circumstances that you may find yourself in on any given day or moment in your life. You see, I think part of our problem is, again, our vision is too narrow. And we focus on our plans and why they're not working out and things aren't working the way we want them to and so forth. And we've limited ourselves. And God's got plans that far exceed whatever turmoil, whatever struggle, whatever issues you might be going through in your life. Right? He's got big, big, big plans for you. Plans to give you a hope, and that hope is Jesus. And plans to give you a future, and that future is heaven. Okay? But that determines what we're anchored to. Okay? If you think about it this way, what is an anchor for? Well, it's to hold a ship steady, right? Keep it from drifting off. Especially in times of stormy weather. The anchor is used to hold the ship from being torn away and pulled and washed out to sea. When you think about life, and we oftentimes refer to it this way, the storms of life that we go through. And then when we're in the midst of storms, the storms of life that we face, isn't that usually when we oftentimes feel the most hopeless? You see? So the question is, what are you anchored to in your life? How about the promises of God? Okay? You see, one thing that we can be sure of in this life. There's a lot of doubt. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that, you know, you kind of wonder about. Somebody comes up and says, hey, did you hear so-and-so? You go, where'd you hear that, on the internet? You know? Well, it's probably not true, okay? But there's one thing that you can be 100% guaranteed, or as some people say, guaranteed, okay? That it is true and will be true and will never fail, and that's the promises of God. God's promises are guaranteed. They are for sure. You can take that to the bank, as they say. All right? Let's take a look at some things that the writer of Hebrews says about God's promises and how they're connected to this hope that heaven provides to us. Hebrews chapter 6, 13 through 20. Okay? When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, He's talking about primarily the promise that God made to Abraham about the future, what was going to happen, involved what? Abraham being the father of many nations, right? Okay, He was going to make His name great, and He was going to make Him the father of many nations, and through you, or your seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Okay? When God made that promise to Abraham, he said, since there was no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. The writer tells us. God swore by himself. Now, what is he referring to? Well, oftentimes, you know, of course, Jesus talks about this, you know, the whole idea. Oftentimes we swear by something, don't we? He said, I swear by, you know, my grandmother's grave or a stack of Bibles. Where Jesus, by the way, says don't do that, all right? But God says there was no one greater for him to swear by, so he swore by himself. Okay? Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now, what did he receive? Well, he received the great name. Okay? And he received a son who, what? Developed into those many nations, right? So Abraham received that part of the promise. Okay? Everybody with me so far? All right, now. He goes on, he says, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said. It puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. All right? Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Well, what are those two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie? What is he referring to here? He's talking about God's promise and his oath. Those two things are unchangeable. So when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. Okay? There is not a promise that God made that it has been to be fulfilled to this point that has not been fulfilled. Now, I say it that way because are there still promises that God made that are yet to be fulfilled? Yes, there are. You say? Yes, there are. But every promise that was supposed to be fulfilled up to this point has been fulfilled. There's not a one that God has not kept. You see, God doesn't go, well, I know what I said, but we do that, but God doesn't. And so these two things, the writer of Hebrews says, are unchangeable. God's promise and his oath. So again, you can take that to the bank. All right? Look at what he continues to say here. And we who have fled to take hold of the hope, all right, that's what he's talking about here, this hope that we have fled to take hold of the hope set before us, may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Now, let's take a look at it here. What is he talking about in making this statement? Look at it again with me. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. So what are you anchored to? Okay? All right? It's an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And look at what he says. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Well, what is he talking about? Well, you remember when Jesus died, the scriptures tell us that the curtain in the tabernacle, and that curtain was there to separate the holy place from the most holy place. And the scriptures tell us when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two. In other words, it opened up and removed the barrier between God and mankind. All right? And here the writer says that it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Well, what is he talking about? What is the it here that he's talking about? Hope. Hope. That's what he's talking about. That's the subject of this statement here, is hope. And he says, hope, it enters into or behind the inner sanctuary. Now, look at what else it says here. Verse 20. That inner sanctuary continues on. Where Jesus, look at this, where Jesus, who went before us, entered. on our behalf. Okay? He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what the writer here is telling us? We have hope that has entered into the inner sanctuary where Jesus is already gone. In fact, that's where he is. Remember, we talked about it a couple studies ago when we're looking at heaven. Where is Jesus? He is already at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And the writer here is telling us we have hope that is anchored to Jesus. That's where he is, behind the curtain. He's gone through that curtain. He's there at the throne of God in heaven. And we have hope that anchors us to him. So you see, when you're going through turmoil in your life, when you're going through struggles, when you're feeling a circumstance or a situation that feels hopeless, and you're looking at it going, I don't see there's any way this is going to work out in a good way for me. You need to remember, you have an anchor called hope that heaven has given to us. And that anchor is secured in heaven with Jesus. Can you get through whatever it is you're struggling with? Can you get through whatever turmoil you're facing, knowing that you've got an anchor that is holding you steadfast in the midst of whatever storm you're going through? Is holding you steadfast to Jesus Christ. That's the hope that heaven gives us. You see? Now, we need to ask ourselves this question. Are you sure? Or sometimes we might find ourselves in a situation where somebody tells us something and we feel more like this dog. Okay? Are you sure this fight is gone? You see? Whatever it is that we're facing, are you sure it's going to work out okay? Because a lot of times in our lives, we're not sure, are we? Especially when we're facing turmoil and difficulty and hardships. Whether you're talking about physical, medical issues and problems going on, or when you talk about relational problems, whatever is going on in our lives, there are times when we're looking at it going, I'm not sure. But we really need to ask ourselves, are we sure about this one most important thing? And what do I mean by that? Well, again, let's take a look at something else the writer of Hebrews tells us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he gives us a definition of what faith is. Okay? And look at what he says. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. All right? Again, sure of what we hope for, okay? And certain of what we do not see. So when you think about it, what he's trying to get us to understand is that faith is connected. It is all to do with our hope. That we can look at whatever we're facing and we can recognize and understand that I am sure. Okay? I am sure of what I hope for. What do I hope for? I hope for heaven. Somebody says, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And people oftentimes answer and say, well, I hope so. That's not hope. That's a wish. Okay? I know so. You say, well, that's pretty bold of you, Russ. I think you're pretty good. Huh? No, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with how good or bad I am. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ and His blood. That's why I can be sure. If I had to rest on me and my goodness, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. There's nothing to have hope in that, folks. So if you're trying to find hope in your behavior and you're earning salvation and so forth, that's a hopeless situation. And the reason I can boldly say, yes, I'm going to heaven is because Jesus Christ died for my sins and God promised me that that's my reward. You say? And though I haven't seen it yet, I'm still here, right? Y'all still see me? Okay, I haven't seen that yet. I'm certain that it's going to happen. That's faith. And that faith is attached to our hope. That we have, that hope that heaven gives us. You see? From here, the writer of Hebrews goes through this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and he talks about all these people of great faith in the Old Testament. Okay? But notice what he does in talking about all them. He talks about what they did because of their faith in God's promises. Okay? Not just simply what they thought about it, what they quote unquote believed, but what they did because they believed in God's promises. And then look at what he says in verse 13. All these people of great faith, they died without receiving the promises. Okay? They all died without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, that was their approach to the promises of God, of what they had to look forward to in their future. Okay? They had hope. They didn't receive them before they died. Okay? But they held on to those promises. You say, well, why didn't God give them to them before they died? Because the writer of Hebrews will continue on. And look at what he says at the end there. He says, these, that's all these people he's just been talking about, were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Okay? Since God had planned something, and I love this word, okay? I love this word. Something what? Better. You see, God always plans something better than what we can come up with, doesn't he? And we say, why didn't they get the promises? Why? Because God had planned something better for them. Okay? And for us. Who's the us here?
Us.
Yeah, that's a trick question, okay? All right? Something better for us so that, look at the last part of this, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You see, God planned it that way. That was the future that they were holding on to, that they were looking forward to. That time when Jesus Christ would come and would die and be resurrected so that all mankind, all of those before the cross, which was them, and all of us after the cross, which is us, would be made perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ. See? And heaven gives us that hope through the unchangeable promises of God. See, that is God's guarantee for us as well as it was for them way back then. They were sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they did not see. And they received that promise together with us. You see, heaven gives us this same hope and this same certainty that he gave to them back then. Notice what the Apostle Paul says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, and by the way, that's who? Us. Okay, yeah, we're Gentiles, okay? Among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery. What is the mystery? Well, he identifies it here. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And just to give you kind of a little bit of a tidbit here so you know, I want you to come back next week, because next week we're going to be talking about how heaven helps us, and we're going to focus on this specific topic, Christ in you. Okay? We're looking at how heaven gives us the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? But Paul calls Christ in us the hope of glory. Well, heaven gives us hope, doesn't it? For our lives today. And if our lives are anchored to that hope that is in heaven, in other words, we hold on to that anchor of hope, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and whatever this world throws at us, we will no longer feel hopeless, because we have a future that is far better than anything this world can offer us. We have that future to look forward to. So, are you sure of God's promises of heaven? what I want you to think about while we're singing our invitation song. Are you sure? Okay? The Lord's invitation is open, it's given to anyone. If you're already a Christian, but maybe you've been feeling pretty hopeless in your life because your hope has not been anchored in heaven, it's been anchored in something in the world. Maybe it's been anchored to your plans. Well, you need to repent of that, okay? You need to repent of that. If that's where your hope has been, it's not been in the right place. And I encourage you to repent of that. Not only repent, but allow God to give you the hope that heaven provides so that you no longer feel hopeless and you look forward to the future God has in store. If you're not a Christian, then you need to understand that your situation right now is hopeless as long as it continues. Okay? It's not going to change unless you give your life to Christ. Okay? But the great news is that you can have that same hope if you give your life to Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And are you ready to make Him Lord of your life? And to be able then to receive the hope that He gives through the blood of His Son Jesus. Be baptized to wash your sins away and become His child. Where you can live in that hope, knowing that God has a glorious future in store for you. If we can help you in any way whatsoever, that's what we want to do. And Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up here in the front to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.